So I was thinking about holiness of God, which is so important in our lives. And so what is the meaning of being holy? The meaning of holy is to divide or separate. Divide or separate. The opposite of holy is profane or common, or you can call ordinary. Opposite of holy is profane or common or ordinary. So what is to be holy? It is to be different, distinct, are unique from the common or ordinary. As people of God, the people of Israel have been given the foundations, fundamentals of holiness of God, unlike other peoples who are not of Israel, who have not been taught these truths. So they knew what is holiness. When God told them that some things are holy and some things are not. For example, he said Sabbath is holy, the day seven. You can do anything from day one to day six, which means you can do those days one and six are common. Whereas he made Sabbath as holy because it is separate, it is distinct from day one and six. What is the distinct? Because the person who follows it, he will not do certain things on that holy day. So the Israelites knew what holiness means from the beginning. So, who is a holy person? A holy person is separate from or divided from other persons and things by being different, distinct, or even unique from them. So, that's where this topic becomes a bit complex in the sense. In our prevailing world pattern, no one wants to treat someone different. Everyone wants to be the same. Everyone wants to follow the trend. If someone doesn't follow the trend, he is not looked upon well. So this makes this topic a little bit hard to explain to the people of the world. But we, as Christians and believers, we must know what it is, and we must make ourselves in the pattern that God has designed for His believers as us. The holiness of God, when Bible says God is holy, it means that God is different, distinct or unique from everyone and everything else. So why I am emphasizing this different, unique, everything else is, when I started to think about holiness, I only thought that not being sinful is holy. I always thought I am sinful and God is holy. So my definition of holiness is not committing sin. And it is not wrong, but not committing sin is only a part of holiness of God. The main distinctive holiness of God is that He is separate, He is unique, and He is unequal, and He is matchless. There is no one that you can compare. That is the holiness of God. And holiness of God is ascribed by Moses in Exodus 15:11, When people of Israel, they came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, and all the Pharaoh's armies were drowned in the Red Sea. And when they came unto the land, and Moses prayed, and the words that they used at that time was, "Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders." That is how they addressed the God, the Lord. "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders." That is what holiness is. And Hannah, her prayer, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's prayer, you know Hannah and how she suffered because she didn't have children. So she prayed to God and God granted her child. And so she was so excited and she committed her little son Samuel and she dedicated to God himself. And she brought her son, as soon as he was weaned, he brought her son to the temple and she prayed. This is what she said. "There is none, no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." See how she is distinguishing her God with rest of the things. "There is no one holy like you. There is no one beside you." Means I can't compare anyone with you. So that is how Hannah prayed. And then if you see Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 describes the greatness of God in many terms. And then some of the words they have used there by Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were, "To whom will you compare? To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One?" God himself is asking his followers, "Whom you want me to compare? Who is equal to me? Is there anyone? None." So that is the holiness. And also you can see Hosea. He also wrote under the inspiration of Holy Spirit in Hosea chapter 11, 9. "For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you." I am God, not a man, the Holy One among you. So that is how God's holiness is ascribed in the Old Testament. And God also demonstrated his holiness. It is not just that we ascribed him the holiness, but he also demonstrated his holiness. If you look in the 2 Kings, chapter 18 and 19, there is the history written about King Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the king who followed the Lord. And during his time, there was an Assyrian king by name Sennacherib. Sennacherib was an Assyrian king. And he was so strong, he defeated most of the nations around him. And he now put his sight on Jerusalem, he put his sight on Israel. And he said, he boastfully said that all other nations, the gods of all other nations could not stop Sennacherib from acquiring their countries and lands. Their gods, all other countries and their gods could not prevail over me. And I don't see any difference with Israel and the God of Israel. So, he attacked the uniqueness or holiness of God when the king said in his arrogance that all other nations and their gods could not prevail over me. So I am sure you are God, God of Israel cannot prevail over me. So that is where he committed blunder. And so King Hezekiah understood the spiritual meaning and spiritual repercussion of the words that were spoken by Sennacherib. So King Hezekiah prayed a prayer acknowledging the uniqueness of Jehovah. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 18, 32 and 36, and also chapter 19, 15, verse 15. In chapter 19, verse 15, Hezekiah says, he prays to God in the temple of Solomon, "O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth." So he has put him above everything. There is nothing that he compared our Lord, our God. So what happened? The result was that God heard his prayer, and God supernaturally killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. They were so confused, they dispersed like nothing, whoever were leftovers. So after that, you know, you can see that God demonstrated when someone attacked his uniqueness, God did not sit alone. He demonstrated his uniqueness. So he broke the back of Sennacherib's army. The Assyrians retreated home, and this Sennacherib was assassinated by his own sons within the next few weeks. So, Jehovah, the God of Israel, graphically demonstrated that he was not impotent against Assyrian might as the gods of other nations had been. So, what I am trying to say here is God is very particular about his uniqueness. He is very particular about being different and about being holy. And a second manifestation of God's means his demonstrating that he wants to be unique, he wants to be seen as holy, he wants to be accepted as the King of Kings and above all. The second example is, if you look at Isaiah chapter 6 between verses 1 to 4, you can see there very good description by Isaiah about the vision that he has seen, that how God's throne room and how it looked like. So God is seated on the throne, if you remember those verses. God is seated on the throne. And cherubims, which are the hierarchy, higher level angels, they are cherubims. And cherubims were flying over his throne, and they were chanting, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And so the whole earth is full of glory. So that is where cherubims' position was. The cherubims were over the throne of God, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy." They declared holiness of God. And they said nothing else apart from holy, which also gives you an imagination, understanding that holiness is paramount to God. And so what is the illustration here is, if you cast back your memory, the position of cherubims that Isaiah saw was occupied by another angel. If you cast your memory back, you remember that Lucifer, and whom we call Satan, he was in that exalted position over the throne of God, and he was ruling above, means It is not that he was under God, but his position was exalted like cherubims. So when his position was exalted, he thought, wow, I sit here above the throne of God. So why not I be above God? So that's what he did. So let us look at Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 15, what it says. Isaiah chapter 15, sorry, Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 15. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star. Here we are addressing Lucifer. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star. Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to earth. You who are laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend in the heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And then after a few sentences, he says, I will make myself like the Most High. So the sin committed by Satan was, I will make myself like the Most High. As Sennacherib said, all the gods of other nations could not prevail over me. What this God of Israel will do? He is same as those. The same way Satan said, I will make myself like the Most High. And then he was immediately punished. Immediately punished, and he now is in the realms of earth and lower parts, not in the heavenlies. His primary residence is down, not up. He can go there, come back. And then, so that is about two instances where God said, demonstrated, uniqueness is mine. I do not agree that any other person or thing is above or equal to me. So he has demonstrated it with Sennacherib, he demonstrated it with Satan. And then there are other truths about holiness in the Old Testament. Is the holiness of places where God is uniquely present. So God, when he appeared or when he was present in certain places, they attained holiness. And so some of the things that I noted here are heaven. Heaven is a holy place. It is written in the scriptures. Isaiah 57, 15 says, I live in a high and holy place. I live in a high and holy place. So heaven is a holy place. It is distinct. It is unique. There is nothing like heaven anywhere else. And Jeremiah 25, 30 says, he will thunder from his holy dwelling. So his place of residence is holy. Second, God's throne is holy. Psalm 47, 8 says, God is seated on his holy throne. God is seated on his holy throne. The tabernacle and furnishings, they were holy. That's what he taught Moses and the people of Israel, how to make them holy by sprinkling the blood of lambs and goats and all. If you look into the Levites, the Leviticus chapter, various chapters and Deuteronomy, you can understand how they were making things holy. So the tabernacles and furnishings were holy. The temple of God, the temple built by the King Solomon, was holy. When it says it was called Holy Temple. And the land of Israel is holy. I would like to read this verse, Zechariah 2:12. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. So he will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land. Where is Judah? Judah is in Holy Land. What is it? The place called Israel. And land of Israel is holy. Jerusalem is holy. Mount Zion is holy. And the Mount of Transfiguration is holy. 2 Peter 1:18. When Peter was referring to his experience of transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He mentioned there the Holy Mount. He called it Holy Mount. And then let us come to the next one, is the church. Church is holy. Church as a place is holy. So we are standing on the holy ground, even right now. Because there is no other place which is equal or which is similar to this place. And Ephesians 5:27 and 1 Peter 2:9, they talk about this. 1 Peter, I will read 1, is church, yeah, Ephesians 19. So I will read from, I can't really see what it is written there. So 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So, because we are chosen people, Peter is calling us royal priesthood and a holy nation. So, as a church, we are holy. And the church, when we gather, is holy. When we are not gathering here, I don't think you can call it holy. But when we are here gathered, it is holy. And then so I have jumped probably a little bit. So the church, again, I will come back to these references. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple." We together are God's temple, and he is right now is here. When he is here, within us, in this place, it is a holy ground. And next is the holiness of persons and things God owns. Earlier we have seen holiness of places where God's presence is there. But now you are seeing holiness of persons and things God owns. Certain things God owns, and they are all holy. God's covenant with Abraham is holy. Whatever the promises that he has made to Abraham are holy. And his people of Israel were holy. So what did he say about people of Israel in Exodus 19, 5 and 6? Exodus chapter 19, 5 and 6. "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession." So God says, you are my treasured possession. So as something becomes his own, they become holy. And the Old Testament prophets, they are said to be holy, because 2 Peter 3:2 says, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets." So Peter addresses the Old Testament prophets as holy prophets. And the New Testament apostles and prophets are also called holy people. We also know we call Saint Paul, Saint John. So, and his arm of God is holy. And his Messiah is holy. This one I think is popular, we all know. Psalm 16:10 says, "Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." This is the prophecy of King David about Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary and raising again. "Because he has not allowed his Holy One to decay. And then his words are holy. We know that the word scriptures are holy. It is written about that. And then you can see here that his name is holy. And I would like to read here Luke 1:49. His name is holy. This is the prayer of Mary, mother of Lord Jesus Christ. In her prayer that is cited in Luke 1:49, she says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She said, "Holy is his name." And then his church is holy. Now, previously we came across church. We are also coming again to church. Church previously, what we talked about was unique presence of God. Wherever there is unique presence of God, they are holy. The unique, we know that God is in us, and in this place, because we are all in us, so it becomes holy. But here, it is with a different meaning. Here, because we are God's special possession, as I read in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So, until so far, we have seen what is the holiness. What do you mean by holy? Setting apart, separate, unique. And we learned about what it meant by holiness of God and how Bible describes the holiness of God, and also how Moses prayed describing the holiness of God, how Samuel's mom Hannah prayed, and so in all that. And then we also saw that God defends his holiness. Remember, God defends his holiness. He will not sit tight if someone comes or something encroaches his uniqueness. And he has proved it with Sennacherib. He has proved it with Lucifer, the Satan. And also we have seen a couple of things. That God is, if there is his unique presence in some places or things, they are holy. And also if the he owns, if God owns something, it is holy. So, in this background, as Christians, how and what is the application in our own lives? How shall we live then? In the light of God's holiness. It's amazing holiness, it is fearful, because it is really gives us shivers if we think seriously what holiness of God means. And so let us look at the application. The first thing, we will look at it as a position, as believers, our position as in terms of God's holiness. As Brother Deva said this morning in his Lord's table message, we are declared righteous. With the similar tone, we are declared holy. We are declared holy. We are not holy because we are holy, but we are declared holy. And so, first, we are declared holy. Secondly, we are being called, addressed as saints. If you look at various letters written by Paul, Peter, John, they address all the believers in their churches, for example, in Corinth, Ephesus, and various other places. They say that they call saints, they call us believers as saints or God's holy people. Why and how we are declared holy? Different, distinct, or unique? Why we are different, distinct, and unique? Why we should be called holy? One of the reasons is that we are sort of rescued from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light. So, there are two words I told you. One is holy, second is profane. Holy means holy, separate, distinct, unique. Profane, ordinary, common. Ordinary, common. Ordinary, common is every person lives, every person is born in sin and he is destined to die. That is common. But what God has done to us through our Lord Jesus Christ is that for those of these people who were common, who were sinful, who are destined to die, when they believed in his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, he transferred their address. They are no longer in this address of Satan, under the dominion of Satan. They are all under the dominion of Satan. Those who are common and profane or ordinary, every one of us were there at one point. Every one of us were there at some point. And God, when we believe Lord Jesus Christ, he plucks us out of the dominion of darkness, of the dominion of Satan, and puts us in the kingdom of his Son and the kingdom of his light. So he has brought us from darkness to light. Because of this, we are distinct from the world. We are distinct from the common. We are distinct from the unbelievers. And so now, that is the reason why we are called holy, because we are different. Why we are different? Because God has chosen us and he has brought us out of darkness into the light. And so, for example, Psalm 51:5 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So our sinful nature starts from the conception itself. And so we are all sinful, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. That's what Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 2. And I was so amazed when Sister Tita was reading this in the devotion in the prayer time. So all of us at one point were there in that place, which were ordinary, which was profane, which was common. But because we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he sacrificed on the cross, we have been transferred across from that place to the place of his Son, where there is light, where there is forgiveness of our sins. That's what Colossians says. 1:13, Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. That's what we are. That's why we are different. That's why we are holy. And secondly, some more going into the little bit deeper there. So now I have explained a little bit. What is the basis of holy position? Why we are called holy? As I said, simple answer is that we were in darkness, we were in common, we were profane, we were ordinary. But when we believed in Christ, we have been transferred to holy. We are separate, we are unique, we are different. And so that is the one simple answer. But a more theological answer is, the basis of holy position is because we are indwelt by God. God, when we believed in Son Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us Holy Spirit as an earnest, as it is written in Ephesians, letters to Ephesians. He has given us Holy Spirit as an earnest, as a guarantee, as a down payment for promising eternal life, eternal riches. That is the reason why we live a victorious life, no matter what our circumstance is. Do not look at the circumstance. Do not look what is the situation and, oh, I don't feel like, not your feelings. Because you are declared righteous, you are declared holy, and God promised you the eternal riches and eternal glory. And so that is the one reason why the holy position is. Second reason is, we are owned by God. So what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 20 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Who bought us? God Himself bought us with the precious. What was the price? The precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were not saved by the things that perish, like gold, silver, or wood, but we were saved by the precious blood. We were purchased by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to our God. And so these are the two reasons why we are declared holy. And then let us move on to the next point is, so in terms of application, that what we read until now is that we are declared holy. Our position in Christ, as soon as we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, our position is we are declared righteous and we are declared holy. That is our position. But in this position, then what is your practice? How do you live in this position? And that is what our sister Jenny read this morning. Believers are commanded to be holy. Says, be holy. 1 Peter 1:14, 16. This command relates to a different application of God's holiness than the holy position believers receive at the moment of self. So you need to be mindful. Oh, I'm declared holy, so I don't need to do anything. I'm already holy. No, your position is holy, but you are commanded to be holy, which means we need to practice holiness in our lives. And since God is holy, He expects the members of His family and kingdom to have world life views, values, characters, lifestyles, and practices that are different, distinct, or unique from those of unsaved. So the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, are our world life views, are our values, are our characters, our lifestyles and practices, are they different from common or profane? Are they different from what unbelievers or the world around us does? Are they different? But God expects that they should be different. So what Paul writes here, Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, that's what Paul is exhorting all of us as believers to lead lives that are acceptable to God and to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And how this is possible? Because God is not asking us without help. He has provided us helper, that is God the Holy Spirit, with the help of God the Holy Spirit and His sanctification work. Every day, every moment, we are being molded more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. So during this process, we must cooperate with God the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish this holiness in our lives. For example, in chapter 8, Paul, in Romans chapter 8, 11, he says, Chapter 8 in Romans, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Only because of Holy Spirit we can do that. So we must follow Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, when I say it's not airy and things, Holy Spirit also is Word of God. If you look at Corinthians, when he talks about the armor of God, he talks about the Spirit of God, who is the Word of God. So we are not talking airy fairy. We are talking about follow the Word. Keep the Word in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit within you is there. And another thing that we need to learn from this, our practice, is holiness in worship. So now we talked about practice in life. How do you live? We need to live holy lives. How do you worship? So we need to we are commanded to worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. That is Psalm 29:2. What it means is we must adore our Lord. We must adore our Lord with holiness. Means the uniqueness, the difference that he has. I am glad to say that we do that. And if you see the songs that we were singing even this morning, they clearly show the uniqueness of our God. So our worship should demonstrate uniqueness of our God. So now I will say a couple of things before I finish. So we have seen what is holiness. We looked at the places where it can be holy people and what God wants. They are holy. We have seen how church is a holy because God is in us. We are all together. This place is holy. And so after doing all this, and the challenge to believers in the current society is to live holy lives in the face of worldly practices, which tend to equalize all kinds of faiths equal. So the current prevailing worldview and world pattern is that all faiths are equal. And if you don't talk much, then Christian faith is below every other faith. That's how things are around us. So in this situation, we need to think that our God asked us, he commanded us to be holy. Holy means unique, different, separate, compared to profane, common, what is ordinary. So that's what we need to keep in our mind. And also I remembered living in India, Brother Deva will and others will appreciate that. There is a strange practice in India. Some believers, they put an idol of Jesus and the idol of other gods in one place, and they will be worshipping along with all other gods. And Jesus statue is there. And so it is very interesting. But if you look in the worldview, it is called accommodating and inclusive behavior. So you will be given pat in the back for doing that in the worldview. But look through Christian lens. Look through Jesus. He wouldn't like it because he doesn't like to be equal to anything. So he doesn't like it. So these things, they happen. And sometimes I do think, better than not having, but it is not correct. He doesn't like it. And then greater sin, this is the last point, greater sin of our time is not recognizing or acknowledging the uniqueness or holiness of God. The greater sin of our generation, the current time, is not acknowledging the uniqueness or holiness of God. It is important and critical that God, our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be given the place that he commands. He be given the place that he commands. And he must be given the highest place in our personal lives. He must be given a highest place in the place of our worship. Praise God, we do that here. And then we must give highest place in the community, which is a gray area. So If we do, if this is, this I would believe is the formula to live a peaceable and godly life. When we wholeheartedly try to do this, God's unprecedented favor will rest on us and we will not see calamities we see now. But again, in saying that, I would like to conclude by saying that we are in the end days and Jesus can come at any time. Why Jesus coming is imminent? Because no other prophecy, there is no other thing that need to fulfill before his return. So his coming is imminent. And so we are seeing lots of things that are happening around us which tell us that Jesus coming is imminent. In light of that, if you look at 1 John 1, 1 John chapter 3, final verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. So, in this verse 2, John says that we are given the right to become children of God, but we do not know what we are going to become later. At the moment, we are children. But he says, one day we are going to see him face to face. We are going to see him face to face. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If you believe that Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming tomorrow, anytime today, then we must purify ourselves and lead lives that are acceptable to God. So thank you all. That is all from me. So a little bit about holiness and what is the application in our Christian lives. And so we do have a